Thank you to Greg and Cindy for leading us in music this morning, and Tim for being up there and handling things in the sound room. Briefly this morning, I want to look at one of the gospel passages of Christ's resurrection. We'll be in Matthew this morning. I just want to look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10 for a little while here. And as I studied this passage, it was the activity and the commands and the motion that really caught my attention. So my message here is entitled, Come and Go. Come and Go. Call to come and see the resurrected Lord and then go and share. There's a temptation. I mean, we think of Easter and the tomb, and that's wonderful, and we just kind of want to linger there and be comfortable. But whenever Christ gives us a blessing, whenever he gives us a revelation, he always carries the command to go and do something with it. And that's what we see here this morning. So Matthew chapter 28, we'll be reading verses 1 through 10. And I would ask you, if you would, to stand with me for the reading of God's word. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they shall go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the resurrection and the facts of it. Please guide my words, say the truth in this time, and please speak it to our hearts by your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So once again, in Matthew's account of the resurrection here, I hope you picked up as I read the commands and the movement and the activity going on here. There's a great invitation to come and know Christ, come and know his resurrection, the fact of it, but then the command to go forth, go and tell. And these are great reminders for us today to come and know Christ personally, to be ever more familiar and intimate with him, but then to go out and to serve him. So we're going to consider come and show, come and see, and then go and share. So the angel's going to come and show in verses 1 through 4. Verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Now something interesting here is Sabbath in the Greek is actually plural. The end of the Sabbath. And when Christ was speaking, another was speaking of the Sabbath day as a whole, the rules, is it lawful to do thus or so on the Sabbath? They would use the plural, looking at the whole institution. So many see in this the end of the Sabbath. It's the end of the old and the beginning of the new. That, remember, Jesus lived under the law. He was obedient, he was observant of the Sabbath, but now Christ has died and risen again, and a new dispensation has been ushered in. The Sabbath no longer holds the importance. It's now the first day of the week, Resurrection Day, that we celebrate. So this is the dawn of something new. But the women are up early. Christ had died, and the women, they wanted to go and bring the spices to put upon his body, just to make it presentable and to help the, frankly, the smell and to do honor to Christ. But of course, they were observant Jews too. They rested on the Sabbath, but as soon as legally they could, it's still dark, they are out and about waiting to do honor and preparation to the Lord. And we see here Mary Magdalene, and she is the one that Luke chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 tells us a little bit about. Luke 8:1, it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and a certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. So Mary, she had seven devils sent out of her. There's nothing in Scripture to indicate Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Some connect a different story with her, but that's just supposition. But she had seven demons cast out, and so she became a constant servant of Christ. It was the 12, and she was right there with him and with the 12 and with Christ, listening, learning, and serving and helping them in any way possible. So she continues her ministry to Christ here even after his death. And the other Mary, we see her in Matthew 27:56, speaking of people around the cross and who saw Christ there. Among them was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. So this other Mary was the mother of James and Joseph. Joseph is also called Judas. And those were two disciples of Christ. Her husband was Alphaeus. And likewise, she served Christ. So these are these women who are here, and the other Gospels indicate there's maybe another one or so. But these women, they had spent years just like the 12 disciples serving Christ. This is not something new and unexpected that they would be going and doing their utmost to serve the Lord. What an example to them they are, to us they are. We don't see their names time and again like the 12 disciples. We don't see them doing miracles, but humbly using their gifts, using whatever that was at hand, and serving the Lord. And how interesting that Matthew sees fit to record the women as the first witnesses of the resurrection. Because Matthew, extremely brought up in Judaism, his gospel is the one primarily focused on the Jews, an extremely patriarchal society. That if he would have his choice, it would have been him and John to be the first witnesses. They would have been trustworthy, or somebody else of status. But to have women be the first witnesses, Matthew never would have picked it that way if he could have. But he wrote it that way because it was the truth. But these women come. But somebody is already at the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone back from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And how interesting here that Matthew and all the Gospels, to an extent, they kind of pass over the most important part. No, this is not the resurrection. Jesus is gone. Jesus is gone at this point. He has a resurrection body that can pass through doors, walls. He didn't need the stone moved to get out. But the angel came and moved the stone so the women and through them we can see in. But the resurrection has happened. The promises talked about it, Christ talked about it, and now it's just simply fulfilled. We have the second earthquake here in several days. The first, when Christ was on the cross bearing our sins, and it was such force that it rent the temple veil in two, making the access to God. But here another one comes. These earthquakes mark important points. The first one marked the payment for sin. The second here marks the receipt of acceptance of the payment, which is the resurrection. The angel of the Lord, really, it could be the angel from the Lord. This is not the Old Testament angel of the Lord, because that was Jesus. And this is not him heralding his own resurrection. So this is a messenger come from the Lord to tell about the resurrection, representing God to man. And the angel is sent to open the tomb to show others that Christ has arose. And he moved the stone. And the stone was massive. So it's a superhuman might that he did this. Remember, the women are fretting, oh, how are we going to get it out of the way? Well, the angel had no problem. And I just find it interesting. He moves this stone. He comes with an earthquake. His face is like lightning. He just casually takes a seat on the stone, just kind of waiting around for somebody to show up so he can tell them that Jesus is risen. This angel is stunningly bright. He is luminescent. His face, his gaze are startling. And this stunning appearance It's no wonder. Constantly when we see people meet an angel, the angel says, fear not, because if you ran into something like that, you would be terrified as well. He has a white, sparkling garment, the sign of righteousness. These garments, these robes of white, are the official uniform of heaven. The white robe of righteousness that each of us who know Christ will receive. So this angel, and remember, an angel, it means messenger. He's a messenger of God with the most important message, that Jesus has risen again. He wants to show us. And he was so startling, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The guard of the tomb was hardened Roman soldiers, veterans of wars, used to battle, used to terror, but the sight of a holy angel was such that they fainted. Became as dead men. They were so overcome by his sudden appearance, terrifying look, and power of moving the stone that they faint where they are and perceive nothing that is about to happen. So the angel came to show. Now the women, secondly, are invited to come and see. Verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. The women come upon the scene, and unexpectedly, the tomb is open. They were worried about the stone, the Roman soldiers guarding it. They are passed out as dead men. And here is this man, this being, radiant, shining, white, sitting by the entrance. Understandably, they would be frightened too. But it's interesting, they didn't drop their things and flee. They're still drawn. And the angel addresses them. And it's quite right that they fear, because sinful man should be frightened in the presence of righteousness, in the presence of the divine, in the presence of righteous God's messenger, because he could rightly judge us where we stand. But praise the Lord for God's grace and mercy and the message that this angel was going to give, that their sins were atoned for and that Christ was risen. The angel says, fear not, you have nothing to worry about. I have a message from God. And notice the angel knows exactly what they're going to do. That shows he is from God, because he has divine knowledge that you women, you are here to seek Jesus who was crucified. And Jesus, make no mistake, was definitely dead. The Romans knew what they were doing. He was crucified, dead, and buried. You seek Jesus. We need to seek Jesus. Even as a believer, every day, seek Jesus in his word, in prayer. Come to seek Jesus. Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here. And we just stop there. I wonder if the women's heart sank for a moment. Jesus isn't here. Did they take his body? Did they get rid of him? We want to honor him with these spices. Why is he not here? But then the joy. He is risen. Literally, he was raised. What exhilaration, what joy would have hit their hearts. That Jesus, who was dead, is now alive. The word raised. He was raised from the dead. He was awoken from that great sleep of death. He is set up again and is currently alive. In Luke 24:5, we see that the angel tells them, why seek ye the living among the dead? The tomb is a place for the dead. You shouldn't be looking for Christ here, because he is alive and he has no business being here. But we don't want to miss this. He is risen as he said. Jesus had told the disciples, and these women were with them, he was going to die, but that he was going to rise again. Just a few places here in Matthew's gospel that we see this. Matthew 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. He taught them this. Matthew 17:22-23. And when they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. They didn't get the message. He told them, I'm going to die, but it's going to be for your sakes. I'm going to rise again. But just they got so hung up on the fact that he wasn't going to be with them as he had been. They missed the message. One more, Matthew 20, 18 and 19. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Death didn't take Christ by surprise. He knew it was going to happen, but he knew he was going to rise again. This should have been clear to the disciples. It should have been clear to these women. But in their sorrow, in their self-centered outlook, they missed it. But here it is gloriously revealed to them. But the angel goes on. He says, don't take my word for it. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. That's why I rolled the stone away. Go on in. Take a look. I opened the tomb for you to look in and see for yourself. See the slab where the body lay. See the grave clothes. Let's see that in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 6 and 7. When Peter and John come and look into the sepulcher. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher, and seeing the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head, not laying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And hold your finger there in John 20. But they looked in. If somebody was going to steal the body, they would have taken it kit and caboodle. The clothes would have gone with it. They were wrapped meticulously around, but the grave clothes are empty, and the special cloth about the face was folded by itself. Something remarkable and miraculous happened here. The clothes are there, the slab is there, but there is no body. And notice here, come and see the place where the Lord lay. The angel, even a heavenly angel, calls Christ Lord, showing that he is divine, that he has rule even over the heavenly host. Even an angel is subservient to him. He is Lord, and we need to treat him like Lord. We need to give him the leadership and follow his will in our lives. And it doesn't explicitly say here they went in, but in verse 8, they departed quickly, and departed literally gives the idea to go out. So I believe they did go into the tomb, and they looked around, and then afterwards they went out from it. Today there is the tomb, I believe, remains. So there is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, but many Bible-believing Christians believe that that's the wrong place, that there's the garden tomb near Gordon's Calvary. And people do look today, but we're not 100% sure, and the clothes aren't there. We can't look in the same way. We trust by faith. But really, that's to our benefit. John 20, 29, Jesus addressing Thomas. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We don't look into the tomb, but we look into Scripture, and by faith we believe and receive these things. And Jesus said, blessed are we because we do so. And we need to have that attitude in our lives. Anytime God wants us to do something, or we shouldn't argue and bargain and say, well, Lord, show me something, show me a sign. Trust him by faith. How many of us, we trust him by faith for our eternity, but we're so loath to trust him with today. We're so loath to let go of the cares of this world. Friend, it's only to our benefit that we need to. But they saw that the tomb was empty and that Christ arose. And these women believed. They believed. And that is the heart of salvation, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth in the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The resurrection, belief in it, is necessary for salvation. And that's the most important thing any of us can do. But their conversation with the angel doesn't stop there, and God's desire for us doesn't stop there. They came and saw and believed, but now they're supposed to go and share. Verses 7 through 10, the angel tells them, "And go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." The angel says, "You have seen a great thing. Now don't wait around here. Don't stand around at the tomb. Don't even stay here to celebrate. Go quickly." God does bring these mountaintop experiences into our lives, and we just see him or something about him clearly, and he uses them, and my, they are joyful and wonderful. And how often do we just want to pull up a chair and sit there on the mountaintop? We're like Peter, seeing the Mount of Transfiguration, and say, "Lord, let us build tabernacles. Let's stay here a while. With you and your glorified state and Moses and Elijah, let's just wait here." But that's not what we are called to do. We want to linger on the mountaintop, but we can't just wait there when there's work to be done. The angel tells them, "Go tell the disciples that he is risen." The disciples are in the locked upper room. They are mourning, fearful of their life, of the death of Christ. The women need to go and share this joyous news. They need to tell the 12 as soon as possible that Jesus is alive, so that they all might rejoice in it together. They may be encouraged, and they, the 12, also might be prepared to get to work and go about the Father's business. There's a very specific message here, that Christ is alive, and he goeth before you into Galilee, and you shall see him. To the 12, not only is Jesus alive, you're going to see him. Jesus isn't done with you. Jesus is going to come unto you and share his message and commune with you once again. And again, this is something that Jesus told them in Matthew 26, 32. Let's back up to verse 31. "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." So again, Christ is fulfilling all his promises. Now we know that Christ, he wasn't going to wait for Galilee. He is going to come this very day and meet them in Jerusalem in the locked room, and he's going to come back a week later and meet Thomas. And he did this because they doubted the women. Even Peter and John, they saw the empty tomb, but they doubted and wrestled. So Jesus came there to encourage them. But it was in Galilee. We usually talk about the Jerusalem meetings, but it's in Galilee. Think of when Peter and many of the others were out fishing and Jesus was on the seashore. That's when he recommissioned Peter. "Peter, I'm not done with you. Feed my sheep." And in verses 16 and 20 here of Matthew chapter 28, that's where he gives them the great commission. And notice it's not on the Mount of Olives here. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And there they saw him and they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And he goes on with the great commission. So they needed to go to Galilee and meet him there because that's when he was going to set them up to build the church. That's where he was going to give them their marching orders for when he would ascend into heaven. He would confirm their calling and prepare them for the start of the church. Verse 8, "And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." They had great joy, these women. How could they not? Jesus was risen again. He was alive. But there was still fear. They had just been in the presence of an angel. They had just been on a roller coaster of emotion, and they still didn't understand what all of this meant. But they didn't let their emotions interfere. They obeyed the command, and just as they were told to go quickly, they departed. They went up out of the tomb quickly. Don't let how you feel get in the way of what is true. Sometimes we feel on fire for the Lord and all excited to do things, but sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes we feel sorrowful. Sometimes we feel just like sitting around. Maybe sometimes if you're in sin or something, you don't even feel saved. But don't let your emotions interfere with the Word of God that is true. He tells you you are saved by the blood of Christ and that you are in His hands. He tells you what you are to do. Don't go by our feelings, because the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now we get a new nature, but those old emotions are still going to creep in and try to fool us sometimes. Don't trust them. Trust the Word of God. So these women, they go out in obedience. And what happens when they do? And they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshiped Him. The women are being obedient to the command. They're not just lingering and standing around at the tomb. They go out and they are going to find the disciples and tell them. And while they are on the way, they meet the risen Lord personally and He greets them. All hail, He says. Hello. Good to see you. And I believe if they had just stuck around at the tomb, they would have missed this meeting. That Christ put them on the road by the angel's word, and He was going to meet them there. Don't linger and just hang out where you're comfortable, or else you're going to miss the blessing that Christ has for you as you go out and serve. I was reminded of Genesis chapter 24, where we studied a few months ago in our study in Genesis. But Genesis chapter 24 and verse 27, this is the servant, possibly named Eleazar, who was sent to go get a bride for Isaac. But notice what he says in Genesis 24, 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of His mercy and His truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. How often do we want the whole trail laid out while we just sit there and say, God, when you show it to me, then I'll go. Sometimes God tells us to get out in the way. Get going, and then I'll direct you, and then I'll bless you. I being in the way. How many opportunities do we miss, or how many blessings do we miss because we're not in the way? Because we're still sitting around waiting. The blessings of Christ come when we are in the way, when we are about His business. But as soon as they see Him, the women fall down and they worship Him. That's what we talked about a couple Sunday mornings ago. Humbling is going to go with worship. Bowing, physically or heart, it's going to go with our worship. But they bow to His feet and worship Him to humble self and to elevate Christ. But they literally cling to His feet. They don't want Him to leave. They don't want Him to go away again for fear that they will not see Him. Then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Jesus comforts them. Don't be afraid. There's that fear we saw earlier that they're still wrestling with, but there's a new fear that they see Him now and that He's going to go away and they're not going to see Him anymore. But he tells them not to fear. Cast these fears away, because Jesus keeps His promises. He said He was going to go ahead of them and meet them in Galilee, and that's exactly what He's going to do. Jesus had blessed them with an unexpected experience, an unexpected meeting, but that didn't void His instruction to them. That didn't void their charge, their responsibility to go and tell. So yes, when the Lord brings those unexpected blessings, fall and worship Him and praise Him, but don't let them get you off track, that you just, again, that mountaintop experience where you just want to sit and wait and hopefully another come. Stay about the Father's business. What a blessing that God has made Himself known. He opened the tomb to show us that Jesus was risen. God has given full revelation by His word, everything that man needs to know. He shows Himself to us. He has come and shown, and He calls to us to come and see. Come and study His word. Come and learn more about Him by the Spirit hear what he tells us. Know him. Trust him as Savior and Lord by faith. He invites every day, even as a believer, to come and see and know more. Taste and see that the Lord is good. His mercies are new every morning, so come and study them every morning. But then after we have come and seen and drawn close to him, we are called to go. Go and tell others. Go and serve the Lord. Don't doubt, don't linger, don't cling to what is comfortable, but go and share and serve as you have been commanded, and you will be blessed. I ask each of you here, have you come? Have you come and by your mind and by your heart of faith known that Jesus has risen again? And have you put saving faith on him as Lord and Savior? And Christian friend, in your Christian life, are you constantly asking God proof? Are you doubting? Or do you by faith take each step as he directs? Do you come and see each day in prayer, in study of his word, to know him better? Do you hunger? Do you thirst to know more of the Lord? Are you constantly coming? And then after you have, are you going? Are you willing to leave the comfortable and go out and serve your Lord and tell others about him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for your word and how you reveal yourself truly and clearly to us, Lord. Help us to desire to know you more, to come and see each and every day, especially this Easter, Lord. I pray that by our hearts we would come and see you today in a special way and just be amazed at what Christ has done and apply it. But Lord, help us to not be lethargic. Help us to not be complacent. Help us then to go, as you direct us, to go and tell others, to go and serve you. Help us to be willing to be your voice on this earth, to proclaim Easter, to proclaim what Christ has done, not just for us, but for each one. There's a world, Lord, that's hurting, that needs Christ. Help us to show him to them in our lives and in our words. Lord, please help us to see where we are doubting and need to respond in faith to you, and help us to see where we're lingering and need to go. Speak to our hearts in this time, I ask it, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, please give that over to him as Greg leads us.